So where is their liability in this case? There's liability all the way around, right? Trustee has some liability if they pay for the house. Oh, I'm sorry. If they pay for the house, if they, you know, let the trust run out of money, there's a good citation. It's a great case to look at. It may actually come up, so I may be jumping ahead. But it's the Lorenzo case out of New York where the trustee paid for things at the direction of the guardian, which happened to be this beneficiary's mother, and then was held liable for not seeking out other alternative solutions like Medicaid, like home and community-based services. So that's a really solid case that you can use, when you're in these situations. And then the guardian, do they have some liability? You're darn right that they do. If they have instructed the trustee to continue to pay for this house and the estate runs out of money, yeah, they could be liable too. And with that, I will turn it over to Haley.
And pass it
on. You got it.
Yeah, thanks. So thanks, Pete, for that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's always fun. You know, and at the Pooled Trust, we deal with a lot of instances where they're running out of money. So they call me and they say, hey, so we're going to send it over to you. Good luck. you know, we're going to sell the house. We're taking the house out of the trust and we're going to send the rest over to you. And so, you know, we end up in those situations where we're trying to figure out how do we make sure, you know, our goal at the ARC is always, I said this yesterday, we always believe that people can be served in the community. We want to find the supports and services for people to be able to be served in the community. And we're lucky because we have folks in our office who work with Medicaid regularly to improve our rules and that sort of thing. So we've got some good connections over there that we're able to reach out to and maybe find, are there better supports or services that it can keep this individual in their home? But that's not always, you know, that's not always the case. So thank you for that. My few things are really talking about pooled trusts and how sort of transferring between states. I know I'm sure some of you have clients in other states. You have clients who are here and are trying to figure out what it is that they can do if they have moved. So Daniel is one of our beneficiaries, and he was living in Texas this entire time. He ended up with a pooled trust in another state, though. He originally lived in, this was actually in Colorado. So he lived in Colorado, and he'll talk more about Colorado here in a little bit, but he lived in Colorado and moved to Texas pretty quickly after this case settled. And so he had a pooled trust in Colorado. Purchased a home here or put a large down payment on a home here. And so he was living in Texas. His needs were continuing to grow. And he, so they were like, we really need somebody in Texas to be able to administer this because, y'all have more expertise there. You can maybe help him better to find the supports and services because in Colorado, their system is completely different than the Texas Medicaid system. And so they were like, yes, we want to move it over. I'm like, cool, great. That sounds wonderful. Let's do this. We do pooled trust to pooled trust transfers relatively regularly. And so we're like, okay. Well, it turns out that Colorado Medicaid had to approve the transfer to us. There was an annuity that was involved, a structured settlement that was involved, so it was paying out every month. And Colorado said, no, we're not going to allow that transfer to happen because we might not get paid back when this individual passes away. And so we went back and forth, and as I state in my little write-up about this, we all considered, okay, do we try to go to court about this? Do we try to really push further? Well, we don't want to put the Colorado pooled trust in a situation where they have to fight against their own Medicaid program. We don't want to make them any more adversary than they already are. Mm. We really didn't want to continue that. But the state was really concerned about whether or not they would get paid back. So this individual now has two trusts. And part of the money goes to Colorado. And then after it accumulates a little while, they send it over to us. So they can do distributions to our trust. It's a whole process that's been difficult. And realizing that we understand that Colorado needs to be paid back, we're gonna do that, and I'll talk later about about other settlement agreements that we're able to do with other pooled trusts, but we really had to figure out how could we help this guy and really get him what he needed. And so now we work with them regularly. We talk to them a lot. I got a new transfer coming from them soon. You know, it's one of those things that people end up in other states pooled trusts, and they really need somebody that has that expertise. So we were able to get him moved over. And, you know, we are just constantly coordinating with them, and his needs have increased, and we're trying as best that we can to help him. But, you know, we work together to try to make sure that we can get him the best services that he can get. But knowing that this other state says, nope, you can't take it because we won't get paid back, was a new experience for me. So states really want to get their money back.
Yeah, and I think the most salient point there, right? Remember that that trust transfer rules, especially federally, it says, right, every state gets paid back proportionally to the amount expended. Colorado takes a different point of view and says, we're getting paid back first and screw all the other states, right? Completely unconstitutional, completely, you know, against the federal regulations, but that's what they say. And I think that's a big point we're going to talk about a lot, is how different states sort of treat this stuff.